Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker, Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this podcast, this Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. During this podcast, not only do I bring you information and inspiration to take your bodybuilding and training efforts to the next level, I get other people, people who impress me, that stand out, the most passionate, and who I consider the most interesting people in the bodybuilding and fitness world to give you that information and inspiration. But even more than that, during this podcast, I'll let you climb into the mind of these passionate and successful individuals in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can understand the intangibles about what makes them so amazing, so awesome, that earn my respect. And if you're a follower of mine, if they're earning my respect, then I'm bringing them to you because I know there are things that you can learn from them. Today's guest, who I'm really excited to bring on, is Jeff Nippert. Now, Jeff is a pro natural bodybuilder in the WNBF. In addition to that, he's a competitive national level powerlifter. In fact, at one time, he was the bench press record holder. He tied that at one time. He was a record holder in the bench press. He's getting ready for the CPU Canadian Powerlifting Nationals in April of next year. So he's got a lot of things going on. But, you know, this guy has amazing physique. That competitive natural bodybuilder, I would see him on Instagram. I said, man, this guy has this beautiful physique. It's balanced. It's ripped. And things that I see is that the detail, like his tan is perfect, his posing's perfect, just really stood out. You could just tell he's just a passionate guy. I had to get him, you know, on this show. You know, finding out a little bit more about him, he's more than just muscles, which really resonates with me. He has a bachelor's degree in biochemistry and chemistry from Memorial University of Newfoundland. He's a contest prep coach. He's an entrepreneur. With strength guys. So if you're looking for contest preparation guidance, this is a guy that you want to look up. And as you listen to him throughout this podcast, you probably really connect with him. So he's going to give you all the information if that's what you're interested in. But he's more than that. As I talked to him, you know, he's had just a track record of success. You can't see that from the amazing bodybuilding pictures or his videos of powerlifting, right? He's had nothing but success in his life, right? From being a small guy in basketball and being the captain of his team to slam dunking a volleyball. See, coming from where I come from, man, that's heart. That's mindset, right? It's something that you're not going to see from the black and white strategies, right? That's what I want you to tap into during this conversation. I'm going to try to bring that out in this conversation. So welcome to this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, Skip. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, like I said, you're really putting your name out there. You're stepping up as a leader, which is another requirement for people I have on this podcast. You're not afraid to put your ideas out there. I see your Instagram pictures, your videos, Facebook, social media, all your posts, really giving out the knowledge. Now, tell me your brand, how you position yourself. I mean, what's your claim to fame? What's your angle of all the different niches within the niches of within the niches between, you know, bodybuilding and fitness, you know, what's your specialty? What's your brand as you give that information and inspiration to the people out there?
So one of the big things with myself and with the strength guys is that we like to endorse an evidence-based approach. So We use scientific principles to guide our nutrition and training recommendations. But I think it goes, like you said, a layer deeper than that. And with us, we also try to connect on a psychological level and even sometimes an emotional level, because as you know, a lot of this stuff and a lot of the determinants of success in this sport is going to be driven by your psychology and your perspective and how you're able to maintain composure and achieve longevity. So that's another thing that we really focus on. And I think with me specifically, where I'm still competing and, you know, I just earned my pro card this year in bodybuilding, I'm still in the trenches sort of with my clients. So I'm sort of going along and experiencing the struggles with them. So I think that that allows me to sort of connect with the people that I work with and work around in a pretty special way.
Now, that's awesome advice because, as you know, as you're fielding, the internet has expanded. There's so many experts out there at all different levels of passion, experience, different angles. You know, someone who wants to get in this, they see a physique like yours and they go, I want that. And they're looking for the black and white strategies. Now, I know you really emphasize science. And a lot of people interpret the science as black and white, gives them certainty, direction, control, makes them feel good. But sometimes, you know, they get overwhelmed by all this information or they can't make the scientific strategies work. Tell me, how do you calm people down? How do you get them poised and focused so they can actually get results and just not more information?
Right. So one of the things that I usually say to people who are feeling overwhelmed is I sort of just use this comparison. I'll say that you hear of people who will say, you know what, I might not have gotten all of the science right. I might not have known all the facts exactly, but I had enough hard work and determination and commitment over time to get me through, right? You'll hear that story. And then you'll hear, you won't hear the other side of that coin. So you won't hear someone say, you know, I didn't really have the work ethic and I didn't really have the determination or the commitment or the plan in place, but I knew all the scientific principles and that was able to get me through, right?
Right.
So I think what you have to do is put it in perspective. And what I do is I say, we use scientific principles, and that is just to say things that have been tested in the field, right? So it's not some magical thing that there's some science out there, right? It's just things that we've tested and have been shown to work for most people.
Right.
And we take that and we put them into practice. But the thing that's going to determine the success is not the scientific principles. It's going to be commitment to the plan. It's going to be hard work, determination, grit, you know, perseverance over time, all those sorts of things that, you know, you talk about in your podcasts, right?
Right, right. And so you do that perfect blend between science-based proven strategies that definitely can get you moving in the right direction, give you that level of certainty, but you really pound them on, look, they're going to be useless if you don't have that mindset. You go for that right blend, your brand of that right blend. Well, let's just talk about the results because, you know, everybody, you know, they get focused on the process, this training strategy, this eating strategy, and sometimes they're not even getting the results, right? But they feel complacent or at least a little bit satisfied because they're on the right team. They're using the right strategy, right? Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your results, and then I want to talk about that mindset that led to your amazing results. I guess I should add is that this young guy, he's 24 years old, right? So yet he has a lot of track record of success. I'm going to bring that out. But let's just talk about the results that he's produced. Like I said, you're a very young WNBF professional, natural bodybuilder, and you're a power lifter. And you have a background going to school, and you didn't just go to school. You're like top in your class. You're going to be a dentist. I don't think people know you did go to dental school, and you were second in your class. So you're a really smart guy on top of that. You can't see that from your muscles. You know, a lot of results in your life. Tell me about that.
So when you say it all like that, kind of in one phrase, it makes it sound like it kind of happened overnight, right?
No, not to me.
Got all these accolades lined up, and it's just
right, right. It sounds good in a sound bite, right?
Exactly. So I'll start, I guess, with bodybuilding. So I guess in order to give some context here, I can talk about sort of what I learned earlier in life, right? That sort of set me up for success in bodybuilding. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, I'm 5'5" tall. I've got a 5'1" wingspan and my reach is about 6'4". So I can reach up and still not touch the top of a doorway flat footed. So in basketball, this was a huge disadvantage, right? And for me starting out, I recognized this. So I became obsessed with working on my vertical jump. And I knew that, well, I might be the shortest player on the court, but I'll jump higher than everyone. So what I did was I started out making small steps, right? I didn't get into the complex plyometric training. Basically what I did was I set up in my basement a styrofoam cup from the ceiling because I couldn't reach up and touch the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
So I stuck a styrofoam cup up there and I would jump up and I would miss the cup first starting out, right?
Uh-huh.
And then eventually I got to hit the cup. So what I did next was I took scissors to the cup and I sort of cut off a layer at the bottom, right? So it was a little bit higher. And then I would jump up and miss that. And then eventually I just kept working my way up until I could touch the 8-foot ceiling, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was pretty young at this point. This was probably early junior high school. And then from there, I started doing the plyometric training. So I ran through pretty much any free jump program that I could find online. And after that, I realized that I could touch the rim, but what I really wanted to be able to do was dunk. So I turned to the weight room when I was around 15 or 16 years old.
Was that the first time, 15 or
16? Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. So uh-huh. when I first went to the gym, all I really cared about was improving my vertical jump, right? Because at that point in my life, basketball was everything for me, right? It was what I was, it was kind of like what bodybuilding is to me today. It's uh-huh. that one thing that really drives all of my passion, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I got into the weight room and started to get under the bar and start squatting. And it was my dad who introduced me to this because, you know, he kind of has a background in recreational bodybuilding. He was sort of like your gym rat who had the bodybuilding stringers, the old school, like Muscle Beach, bright green stringers.
Right, right. The boat neck top, that T. Michael with the stringy tank top underneath and the
exactly.
colorful baggy the, clown
yeah,
pants,
that
right?
The hide away and not wear around me.
Right, right.
So he had the magazines around the house. So he took me to the gym and I started squatting to try to improve my jump. And eventually I started to get results with that, you know, and for me it was pretty quick. So from there I sort of transferred that discipline that I had in basketball with improving my vertical jump and just becoming the best basketball player that I could be given my limitations. And I sort of transferred that over into bodybuilding. And I think that sort of set the stage for me to be successful in that arena because
right.
I had built that foundation from a young age.
Uh-huh.
So even though when I first started out, I was training legs more than upper body, which isn't the typical story you'd hear, right? Like most guys
sure.
get into the gym to get the arms or the abs or whatever.
You're not supposed to do that? Oh, wait, okay. Oh. Okay.
It's fine if that's your thing, right? But for me, I care more about that now than I did then.
Right.
But anyhow, I started to build up my legs and, you know, I listened to your podcast with Eric Helms and he said that he sort of got bit by the iron bug.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like it was at that point that the same sort of thing happened to me. You start seeing results and then you realize that, well, I'm pretty gifted here. This is somewhere where I can take my capacity to work hard and to research and to learn all of the principles to do with bodybuilding and sort of set that stage for me to eventually be successful.
And what age was this?
Pardon me?
When you got caught by the iron bug, what age was this? Would you?
I would say it was late high school for me. So like all through junior high school and high school, it was still basketball. Uh-huh. Everything was basketball, right? And I started out playing scrimmage basketball in Taekwondo, which was my first sort of sport that I loved.
And the foundation of discipline too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that Taekwondo was probably what really gave me that discipline from the beginning and taught me that. But
and what age did you start that? You know, because I want to go even back. So usually, you know, people don't develop this type of mindset, this champion mindset that I'm really glad that we can bring this out because people, you know, see your strength on the YouTube videos or they see your physique on stage. You know, now we get to work back, right? So now, how long did you go into Taekwondo? And even go into that, you must have had parents that really supported you, maybe parents that even had a track record of success. Tell me how that evolved even before basketball and even before you got bit by the iron bug at 18. Go back for me.
Right. So I took up Taekwondo when I was probably 4 or 5 years old. So I was a really young age. And I owe that to my dad and my uncle. My uncle is a coach on the Canadian team here. And so, yeah, there's definitely a backstory there.
He was the coach of the Canadian Taekwondo team. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. And he still travels around the world today. Wow. I think he was just in Russia quite recently. So he was my coach in Taekwondo. And he actually took me as far as an international tournament in Florida, where I won 3 gold medals there at, I think I was 13 years old. And I got my black belt when I was 13 years old too.
Wow.
So I was very successful in Taekwondo, but it wasn't without difficulty because I lived in a small community in the center of the island that I live on, which is Newfoundland on the east coast of Canada. And there was no Taekwondo instruction there. So we had to travel for 5 hours every second weekend to go to the city, which was where, you know, the practices were, right?
And you're talking about this was your uncle, your dad, your mom?
My uncle was a coach, but my dad would drive me for 5 hours to go practice every second weekend. 5 hours out and then 5 hours back. So you talk about family support, right? Yeah. I mean, that was just so critical for me. I mean, it played such an important role for me in terms of my success from the very beginning, right? So yeah, I mean, I definitely owe credit to my family.
Right. So your uncle had a track record of success through osmosis or definitely through introduction. He passed along a lot of traits to you. Now your dad is a dentist too, so he's no slouch in the success department either, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. No, definitely not. And like I said, my dad was always involved in bodybuilding and, you know, he'll show me his old photos from in his heyday and he had a great physique as well. And he never actually competed in bodybuilding, but he had that same sort of passion for it that I did. And I think that that's a lot of where I get it from.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's even more to this because, you know, being as successful as you are. And I'm curious, you know, I talk to a lot of people and, you know, people, I break down life success habits in the mindset for people. You alluded to some of my non-bodybuilding podcasts, like My Morning Connection and things like that. That's what I do, a lot of life coaching. And so I get to pick out strategies for success. And whether someone's interested in fitness or whatever it is, you know, there's this commonality. There's these organizing principles of success. And you know, you're showing a lot of those. You're talking about those right now. And I want people to pick up on those. But I do have a couple questions for you because it created a lot of options for you. So mm-hmm. You had basketball. Well, first you were successful. You talked about the 3 gold medals in Taekwondo, and then you had basketball. Then you got hit by the iron bug, started bodybuilding, and, you know, with developing that physique right there. But your education was also very important to you, and you had the influence of your father, who's educated dentist, and he passed that along. So while you're doing all these things, you're going to school, and you're doing very well in school. Tell me about that road, and why is someone who – I can understand the physicality of what you do, the powerlifting mm-hmm. and the natural bodybuilding, right? And then strength guys, you know, passing along that knowledge and passion to other people. I mean, I can understand that part of it, right? But you were kind of pigeonholed in a different area too, and that's, you know, with your education as a professional. Did that, having so many options, did that create challenges in your life?
Yeah, so, well, of course, there are always challenges. But one of the things that I found I got sort of locked into was I had this script that was sort of written for me ahead of time. So for me, I always did really well academically. Like you said, I had really good grades in high school, and then in university, in my undergrad, I was on the dean's list for the 4 consecutive years of my undergrad degree. So every year, my marks were really, really good. And so generally what happens is in this situation, or at least in my experience with my small circle of family and friends, is you either apply to medical school or dental school or some other professional school, right? You, like uh-huh. The script goes, do well in high school, get good grades in university, and then apply to a professional school that's going to give you a good career to support, you know, a good standard of living or whatever. And so that was a script that I really easily fell into, and it was sort of already written out for me, like you said, with my dad being involved in the profession. And so I pursued that, and it was a goal of mine for a long time. It's the sort of same sort of things that you talk about in your books, right, Skip, where you write down your goals and you read them every morning and that sort of thing. I would do that stuff consistently, and I would set goals for myself in terms of grades, and I would set out a plan for myself in terms of studying and how much material I would get through. And I excelled academically because of this. And then I was able to get into dental school my first time applying. So that's a pretty rare thing. And I was the second youngest person in my class. And so just very recently, actually, I had just completed my second year of dental school. I decided that this, and a lot of this, Skip, actually came because of some of the listening that I had done to your podcasts and some of your books, and you were a big part of this decision of mine, as well as my girlfriend and some of my other friends and family as well. But what I decided was that I'm basically going to be spending 80,000 hours of my life doing this, right? So dentistry is going to be my life's work. And I started thinking that, do I want to be doing something that much and for that long that I'm not really passionate about? Like, I don't wake up in the morning and start thinking about it. And it's not something that I just, you know, at the end of the day, can't wait to get up and do again the next day, right?
Right.
Which is how I feel about a lot of other things, actually. It's how I feel about bodybuilding. It's how I feel about powerlifting. It's how I felt about basketball. It's how I feel about teaching others and inspiring others and working with other people, help them achieve those sorts of goals in fitness and bodybuilding and powerlifting and whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I ultimately just came down to it and just made the decision that I feel like I would be more fulfilled if I just left the program and pursued this other area or whatever. So that's what I did. And it's not a common thing to see usually. And it's not to denigrate dental school in any way. It's a very high accolade, and it should be held with high esteem. And it was something that I was very proud of, but I'm also proud of the fact that I was willing to take that risk and set myself up on a different life course.
Well, the bodybuilding fitness world has definitely benefited. I mean, the passion just comes through with everything you post on the internet.
Well, all this, and that means a lot, because when I was in school, a professional school like that is so time consuming that you really don't have time to dedicate to making videos, right? It basically consumes you. Uh-huh. So it's like when you're pregnant, you're just pregnant, right? Uh-huh. You're not really anything else. When you're in dental school, you're just a dental student. you don't have time for much of anything else, right?
Well, you must have had some resistance taking that route, especially if your dad was a dentist. Tell me about that whole process, how much angst you went through. You kind of seems, in a way, you might have glossed over it, how you made the decision, but was there some angst involved? Did you have pressure not to do that? Did people tell you were crazy to follow your dreams and your passion?
Yeah, I did. My dad, like, as you know, as I sort of said earlier, was always very supportive of me. So in any of the sort of goals that I set for myself, he was always there willing to help me out however he could. So I was more so nervous just to let him know that I was thinking about this, I guess, because again, there is a certain prestige that goes along with, you know, carrying down your sort of family legacy within.
Hey,
within
if it was good for him, he dedicated his life to it, then exactly, it would be a great compliment for his son to do that too, right?
Right.
It validates everything that he did, right? In a way.
Yeah, and I was a little bit surprised because, like I said, I was nervous and still am in some sense nervous when telling people about this decision, because usually I will get one of two responses, right? Like if it's someone who's involved in the bodybuilding community and knows me on that level, they will just be like, oh, well, obviously, like, of course you should pursue this as your career, right?
Right, right.
But anyone who's in the dental community have only really seen me in that capacity. So they are sort of just like, are you crazy? Like, whoa, that's bold. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
So I was anticipating that sort of same reaction from my dad. But he was honestly like, he said that he wasn't really surprised because he would hear me come home or when we talk on the phone or whatever, I'd talk about, you know, my 500-pound squat. you know, something that happened with Robin and I in the gym or whatever. And it usually wasn't shop talk, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you can tell. You can tell when someone is really, truly passionate about something. And I think that that sort of, he had that sort of parental intuition. And he figured that out probably on his own, that I was maybe leaning towards another option, which I was surprised about.
Well,
he handled it well. He was supportive of me and is still supportive of me and is excited about my new path, so to speak.
Right. And you know, I'm sure that your dad has watched your dedication, your success, that life doesn't always go in a straight line. He probably has so much faith and confidence in you that if this didn't work out, man, you went for it, you lived your dream, and it's going to lead to somewhere else, right? You're going to be successful and happy no matter what you do. He's concerned about you as his son, but he probably has a lot of faith that you're going to make whatever you do work. You know what, Jeff? Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This bodybuilding and fitness podcast is brought to you by Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, the highest quality and most effective bodybuilding supplements and sports nutrition products on the market. Supreme. Clean. Mass Machine Nutrition. Check out the entire line at www.massmachinenutrition.com. Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition is also available at the world's number one online supplement store, bodybuilding.com.
We're back with professional natural bodybuilder, competitive powerlifter, and contest prep coach, Jeff Nippert. I'll tell you, Jeff, and your track record shows it in your young age of 24 that you're just a winner through and through. And I see a really bright future no matter what you do, especially in this bodybuilding and fitness. And I've seen a lot of guys in my 25 or so years come and go, right? Get all excited, make a splash, run out of gas, you know. So I've seen a lot of people over my years. As you probably in the years you've been in, you've seen a lot of people come and go. Maybe you don't even think about that because they're gone. And you go, oh, yeah, what happened to that guy?
Yeah,
trust me. I've dealt with thousands of people that are no longer doing it. So, yeah. And so I'm giving you a compliment about, you know, this energy, this essence that you carry into this. And I have to tell you something, it's a lot different. And I want to talk to you about how I see it's different, why you think that is. And then if you see it different, so that means you come into people who don't have the same thought process as you. And that's, you know, this sense of, calmness and poise that you have, and that shows in your work and wanting to help others. It comes from a place of confidence, right? And, you know, me working with so many men all over the world, that upbringing, that support that you get at a young age is so critical. It's so critical to your beliefs of the world. Is this a good place? Is it a bad place? Do you have to watch out for people, right? Or people on your side? Warren Buffett, the billionaire investor, said something. Someone asked him, what's the secret to success? And you would think a financial guy at that level would say something like, I don't know, pay yourself early, invest early, or whatever, pay yourself first. Whatever his, it would be financial, right? Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett, who's probably seen the most successful people in the world, right, in his circles, he said, the key to success is to having a mother and father that stay together and love you unconditionally. And you might be thinking, that's odd. Why is that coming up in a bodybuilding and fitness podcast? I can see a lot of this poise and confidence because of all that support from your dad, from your family, from your uncle, right? Encouraging you and guiding you. And you have this certain poise that I don't see too much. As a matter of fact, as I line up these podcasts and hey, do you want to do a podcast? Oh, what's this all about, right? You could tell they're in that kind of fight or flight mode, not trusting mode. You don't have that. I know that you talk about your team, your strength guys. So number one is, do you see where you're different, that energy is different than a lot of people in this fitness world? Or they say that birds of a feather flock together. Maybe everyone in your circle is that same way. I'm just wondering, do you see that distinction the way I do?
Yeah. Okay. So, about Warren Buffett, I would agree on a lot of levels. I think he was a little bit simplistic when he said that, you know, your parents have to stay together and they have to support you or whatever, or like that's the primary determinant of success. I think that he might be using that to sort of imply what he really means, or at least how I would interpret it, that, which is that it's important to have some sort of support structure around.
And stability. That your world is going to be rocked every few years with drastic things. So do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
however you
100%.
Get stability, that's the way I guess he traditionally put it. But I think you're right. I think that is simplistic. But a lot of times when people have these traumas early in life, it's like I live in California, San Francisco Bay Area, there's earthquakes, right? I mean, if you have an earthquake, a big one, you're going over a bridge, you're in a 14-story building, you just had an earthquake not too long ago, you're distracted a little. Do you know what I mean? Hey, is another earthquake going to happen as I'm over this bridge, right? And you're not enjoying the beautiful view of the city and the sunshine because your certainty has been rocked a little bit. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, for me, I was fortunate enough and I'm grateful for the fact that I was able to have that support from a very young age. And I agree with you completely. I think that that does help in terms of, and I'm flattered and humbled by the fact that you would recognize that poise in me or that confidence in me that you might not necessarily see in some of the other guys in the field. But I think I do owe a lot of that to the support structure that I've had around me. So not only in my early years, but also now right up into my, you know, early bodybuilding years as a professional, my powerlifting aspirations, my career goals, and all that sort of stuff. So it definitely makes a huge difference. And I think that that's a really good take-home message for people who want to have longevity in this sport. And this is something that I tell my clients and my friends and my teammates all the time is, you know, I'll say that it is important to have people around you. And we have a group page with the strength guys where you can go in and you can post your videos of you squatting or progress photos or whatever. And there's always healthy feedback, criticism, comments in there. And I think that that's hugely important in terms of longevity here, because if you try to just be an island and be one solitary figure on one man's journey to the stage or the powerlifting platform or whatever it is, I think you're that much more likely to burn out early than if you can surround yourself with other successful people, or at the very least people who are sort of on the same page as you, or at least have your back in difficult times.
Right.
And this is sort of, I think, what you were talking about when you were talking about the stability after the hurricane or the earthquake or whatever,
right?
Kind of like if you don't have that in your background, but rather you have something more like the weather you'd get in central Newfoundland, which is usually pretty mild, at least in the summer, right? I think that you're that much more likely to be able to approach life and to go about your day without having this constant sort of storm of events in
right.
your back.
You assume that things are going to work out, and if they don't, you're strong enough to handle it. You assume that people are on your side, and if they're not, you can handle that too. But you have to agree that, you know, our niche, our tribe in the bodybuilding, I'm not a real big power lifter, but in the bodybuilding world, it attracts just the opposite, even if they don't recognize it. Would you say that from your experience? Or, again, I'm going back to the question, are most of the people in your tribe a lot like you? Wouldn't surprise me, because birds of a feather flock together. Or do you see that uneasiness? And that's a driving force that gets people to focus on that diet, focus on that, you know, going through the grind week after week for a contest, right? Some of those traumas, those pains of the past, they get that, you know, sense of stability and confidence and that control from bodybuilding and the whole training aspect. I mean, have you witnessed that?
Yeah, for sure. So it's interesting that you bring up bodybuilding and powerlifting, because I can contrast the two of those, having competed in both.
Sure.
When you're backstage at a bodybuilding show, and this is even more so the case for females, I find, there's a certain cattiness or me versus you mentality backstage, right? At a bodybuilding show, everyone's kind of sizing up the next guy.
Right.
Everyone's sort of keeping to themselves.
They're going to do battle, man. They're going to do battle.
Exactly, right. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if you go to a powerlifting meet, what you'll see in the warm-up area or backstage or whatever is you'll see people helping each other out, getting set up for their warm-up sets, helping them out with their opener attempts. People are more encouraging generally, and you'll occasionally find the odd person who's sort of in his own zone or her own zone. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I just find that at powerlifting meets, generally speaking, there's more of a healthy camaraderie, uh-huh. or more of like a social atmosphere than there is backstage at a bodybuilding show. So yeah, I've definitely seen that myself.
So what advice could you give? Someone's a bodybuilder. He's impressed by your accomplishments. He wants to learn from you and the strength guys. But he didn't have that, you know, same fortunate stability that you had and you built upon it. It wasn't like anybody gave you anything, but they didn't have that. They're working from maybe a deficit, an emotional deficit that maybe they don't even realize. All right. And they come to you and you recognize that. What advice would you give? I know you're 24 years old, but you've probably already ran into this type of mentality, and you certainly will the longer you stay in the bodybuilding aspect of it. So what advice would you give these people that haven't had that? And they know that they have these trust issues, you know, the girlfriend or the wife left them or whatever it is. And they find comfort in that, you know, me versus me of the rigid dieting and being able to predict the next meal, and the contest is 16, 15, 14 weeks away, that type of structure. Yeah. How can you be of help to them?
Right. So for a lot of people, especially the type of person like you just described, bodybuilding is going to be that outlet for them, right? So they're going to go to the gym to escape all that other sort of stuff that's going on in their personal life. And for them, it might be the case that bodybuilding, that is what it is for them. It's them against them. It's their place where they can go and be alone. And that can be their own time to just be like them in the iron or whatever. Right.
Right.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that at all. And I think that I've actually seen some friends of mine, or at least one, you know, one friend of mine who had a history of drug abuse, and then he got involved in the gym and it just totally cleared up all the rest of his life. Right. And he,
what does that mean? It cleared up the rest of his life.
Oh, well, I mean, he got away from drugs and dealing drugs, and he got some more positive friends in his life. I think he got a girlfriend who he was steady with. I don't actually keep in contact now, but the gym just did wonders for him. So for me to go to him and say, yeah, okay, you can go to the gym and be alone, but what you should be doing is trying to network yourself.
Right. I mean, well, that's not your area of expertise. Your job is to get them in shape for the contest, right? They're not coming to you for life coaching. Maybe that's what they want to come to me for. And I know that, again, that isn't what you're focused on with your clients. I want to ask you about who your ideal client is. But, you know, personally, do you think that that bodybuilding and training for some people can be an addiction, just like his drugs in the past were an addiction?
Well, in and of itself, I mean, technically speaking, addiction is kind of one of those tough things to define within the psychological community, right? So there are behaviors that can tend towards addiction. So, you know, things like gambling or sex or working out excessively or whatever, right? Like, I mean, they can be addictive. I'm not sure if in the same sense as like drugs are.
Well, I think that the distinction is, at least, you know, the way I understand it is when you want to stop, it's not serving you. Yeah. You know, it's
harming you, and you still keep doing it anyway.
Right. And do you think that for a lot of people, bodybuilding is that way? The rest of their life sucks.
Sure.
Intimacy, connection, you know, in that way, if it's harming them and they hang on to it, it's still an addiction. And here's the challenge with, you got this great physique and you have great selfies on your Facebook page. You're going to get so much applause for that addiction. You're going to get praised for it. You're not going to get praised if you drink all the time and you puke and miss your, you know, job. But that's a challenge with fitness. A lot of people don't see that. And I think that sometimes they're robbing themselves of the big picture in life, even though they think they're kind of balanced. You know what I mean? But really what they're doing is they're hanging around a lot of people who have their same beliefs. And yeah, screw people. Can't trust people. Nothing but the iron, right? Or whatever they say. And so they don't understand, you know, there's a bigger picture out there, and you got to kind of, you know, step away you got to change your thinking and doing. So you can still have a great physique, but if you're going to have that bigger picture of what you want, it can't be used as an addiction, right? So, but
So I just like to go back quickly to that guy who is him versus him. You know what I mean? Uh-huh, and it's him on his own journey or whatever. And I said that, you know, there's nothing wrong with adopting that mentality, I don't think, in the sport. But from my own experience, what I've found is that it's so much more fulfilling when you can embrace that or at least combine that sort of attitude with letting other people come along on your journey with you, right? So when I went down to California to compete in the Muscle Mayhem there and earn my pro card, my girlfriend was with me the whole step of the way, and she competed the next weekend in New Mexico. We both competed together. And that was so much more fulfilling and enjoyable than the time, say, I went to the local bodybuilding meet and sort of had my hoodie up and listening to my music backstage, and then went out and did my posing and came back and went in my own little corner again. So even though it can get you there and it can get you the results, I think that in terms of longevity in the sport and in terms of overall fulfillment in the sport, if you can find people around you who have similar goals or at least support you in your goals,
right,
you're that much more likely to be successful and to keep the success going.
Yeah, I definitely.
And then when you get at the end, you look back, right? And you look at all your picks from your competition and trophies, if you have them or whatever.
Right.
And I think that you'll look back on it in a different light than if you had just kind of done it on a one-man mission the whole time.
I definitely agree with you. I think at your young age of 24, that is a great perspective. You know, one thing, though, is, you know, some people, it's more letting themselves go, putting in that position. You know, I love the fact I see you on, you know, Instagram pictures of your girlfriend. She's definitely part. You know, there's a lot of people, and I don't know how much experience that you've had this in the bodybuilding fitness world. They can't let themselves get close. They see that their partner is a distraction, someone who's going to get in the way between them and the gym, doesn't understand their dreams, and so they push it away. Or they get someone who's in that same mode, and right now you have this relationship that they're both kind of disconnected, but that works for them, whatever. But I do agree that it's going to hit a dead end later on, but people have a lot of stuff that they're going through, and it's really hard for them just to do it. Do you know what I mean? Let me, as we talk about that, you know, I can see everybody, a part of marketing is to have your ideal client, right? In the perfect situation where you'll be in your genius zone and you just flow. They speak your language. If you like to talk to guys or, you know, intellectuals or scientific guys or bros or whoever it is, you know, it's a good marketing strategy to know, you know, who your avatar is, your ideal client, because everything will flow. I have mine in my, you know, coaching business, right? So I'm wondering, who is your ideal client? So they're listening, man, I really connect to this guy. And, you know, who would you just hit the home run with that, man, it's going to flow freely? Describe that ideal client to me.
Yeah, so that is a good idea, by the way, and I've never really considered put any thought into using that as a marketing strategy, but I think it's a good idea. For me, I think I, on some levels, like coaching powerlifters better than bodybuilders, because what I find in my own experience is bodybuilders often come with a lot of baggage, like you kind of talked about.
Yeah.
And in the later stages of contest prep, you become a life coach and a bodybuilding prep coach.
I say babysitter.
The former, right?
I say babysitter.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a limit of what you can take on. So,
and that's not as relatable to you from your background. Do you know what I mean?
Pardon me?
That isn't as relatable to you. So as they're going through this, it's kind of foreign because that's not your experience. Some of the baggage you talked about, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or even, I mean, in some cases it is, because just contest prep in and of itself can be a high demand. And every time that I've prepped for a contest, I've been a full-time student taking 5 courses, most of which would be science, probably 4 science courses every semester. Right? Uh-huh. So I would be on a demanding school schedule and I would still compete. So when people have multiple things going on in their lives, I can usually relate to them on that level. But with the trust issues and that kind of thing. It's probably not necessarily my arena,
right.
But I like coaching bodybuilders, but I'm limited in what I can take on. I find that it can be more demanding,
sure,
of me as a coach. So I like powerlifters. I like people who may not necessarily know all of the science or be immersed within that arena, uh-huh, but are willing to learn. So
yeah, they have that appreciation for it. They let you do all the hard groundwork, and then you disseminate it for them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there are some people who will come to me and they want to tell me how to coach them. So they already have a plan in mind of what they want, and then they want to pay me to tell them to do it. It's kind of a strange thing, but it happens, right?
I understand.
is someone who is like, I'm not super knowledgeable in this area, so I want you to help me. And then they send me, you know, 5 or 6 questions about, you know, how does this work? Or I heard this online. Can you clarify this? I don't mind that at all. I love clients who ask questions and who are eager to learn, right? Especially when it comes to the underworkings of the sort of science behind it, because like I said, that's another passion of mine, right?
Uh-huh.
But the most important thing, I think, to me, in terms of my ideal client would be someone who is going to be committed over time. So adherence is a big thing, and you want to have a client who is like, okay, Jeff, I trust you. I'm putting my faith in you. You can trust in me that I'm going to follow through on what you tell me. And if we can have that sort of coach-client agreement, then it just simply becomes a matter of the logistics. So
right,
you get this type of diet, this type of training program, and I just know that you're going to follow through on it. So there are no like uncontrolled variables there.
Sure.
Everything is accounted for. And then that person becomes easy to coach. And it's those sorts of people who tend to get the best results over time.
Definitely.
Not the people who know the science.
Right.
I have lots of people who come to me and say, you know, I have a degree in biochemistry too, and what do you think of this study or whatever. Those people aren't the people who are most successful with me. And it's also not always the people who are most genetically gifted who uh-huh. are the most successful with me. It's the people who will adhere to the plan over time and who are patient enough to get the results when they're due, you know what I mean? Like
right,
some people
right.
want results before they're ready to happen.
A little bit before your time, but the old Karate Kid movie, I say you do no question, right?
Yeah, well, I was in martial arts, Skip.
Oh, that's right. Before. Okay, so yeah. You got to hear that a lot, right? Too much,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
well, I think that you are this perfect package. It's a blend of, you know, intelligence, hard work, dedication, discipline. At the same time, you're genetically gifted in some ways and not in other ways. I really don't think that the impact that you've made, how you've impressed me and others, and especially where you're going, I think that you have to be genetically gifted too, in addition to those things. You have to have it all going for you to really make the impact on the world. So you have the genetics too. You have the science and background. And you, like I said, you have this calmness and poise. Dude, I'll tell you, your dad should be very proud of you. You got a very, very bright future. You've got all the tools of success, and that's my specialty. I help men all around the world. I help successful people become more successful. So you've got a great future ahead of you. And I hope that that the people listening to this podcast kind of really – here's a guy who's really into science and really a smart guy into academics, but – that isn't what he stressed most of the time. He'll take care of that. You go to Strength Guys, you get a hold of Jeff. If you fit his ideal client, that's me. You're raising your hand right now. You got a powerlifting. He can even help you with contests. You like the cut of his jib and you want to get a piece of him. Jeff will tell you directly how to get a hold of him. But he's got all these factors going for him and can help you out, you know, in so many ways. I really like, you know, how you emphasize the mental aspect of it to take all those other talents and wrap them up in this great package. I like the fact that you have your girlfriend, you have this team type of environment willing to take those risks. I think a lot of people can learn a lot about that. So you got a lot of things going for you. Saw you on Instagram, right, with the double bicep there. So that influence with you from a long time on Instagram. I also see a lot of tell me the story about all the candy and all the food that you always post on your Instagram. Tell me the story behind that.
I'll tell you that. I just want to say, in case any of my listeners or friends or followers are tuning in, is that your books, the Thinking Big series, and your podcast, the Morning Connection podcast, have been hugely, profoundly influential to me in my journey or whatever. So,
well, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the plug, but if you know me, I'm going to plug myself. So, but thanks anyway, right? But like I said, this is what I'm talking about. What I think that I do, you're a winner. You've been a winner for a long time. You've got a great future ahead of you. That's what I do. I help successful people become even more successful. But I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. Right.
So the candy stuff is mostly just for fun. But one thing that we do is, well, like my girlfriend and I have our YouTube channel, Ice Cream for PRs.
Uh-huh.
So people will ask me what that means. And it's basically just like a reward system. So if we go in the gym, PR just means personal record. Uh-huh. So for me, I was chasing that 500-pound squat for a long, long time. And so whenever we'd get a PR in the gym, we would treat ourselves to ice cream.
Ah, I get it.
So that's what that was. It's kind of like a system to keep motivation strong, you know, throughout.
I like it. I like it. So it has nothing to do with IIFYM, right?
Oh, well, it does. I mean, this is something that, you know,
we would need a whole another podcast to go into this. So yeah, we could lightly graze this topic, right?
But I think that as an approach has been stigmatized within the community on both ends.
Right.
I think that people who are on the sort of dogmatic IIFYM, where you can eat whatever you want and it doesn't matter, right? They take this like totally nihilistic approach to dieting. I think that they didn't get it right. You know what I
right,
mean?
Right.
And then on the other end, you have this camp of dogmatic bodybuilders who have been stuck in their ways and the book has been written for them.
Right.
And they're not open to new change, right? I think that on both ends of the spectrum, there's dogma there. And
I think going back to the personalities that get kind of drawn to this thing that we do, they like things black and white. They like things extreme. So black, white, whatever side, it's just prime ground for this type of debate. But so, Jeff, you're all over the internet, videos, podcasts, all your social media. Tell all of our listeners, and I really hope that my listeners, you know, if you're really crazy passionate about this stuff, that you're going to check out Jeff. But tell them where they can find you and the Strength Guys.
Sure thing. So, like you said, you mentioned my Instagram. It's simple. It's just at Jeff Nippard. My Twitter is just at Jeff Nippard. You can add me as a friend on Facebook, Jeff Nippard. The Strength Guys Facebook page, we post on there daily. So there's all sorts of scientific, informative posts about training, nutrition. And I tend to write more of the psychological or emotional posts because that's sort of my main thing. That's what I like talking about. It's what I like writing about, even though I love the science too. I feel like this is what most people are able to connect with. So we have that there. It's just the Strength Guys. And then the Instagram is the Strength Guys. And then I have a YouTube channel. It's, like I mentioned earlier, Ice Cream for PRs, and it's the number 4, and then PR is PRS. And so that's everything. That's it. That's where you're going to get me.
All right. Well, I appreciate you joining me so much. So great to talk to you. Great to get to know you on a deeper level. And hopefully all your current fans and followers, or longtime fans and followers, really through this podcast got you to know you on an even deeper level. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, no, I said I hope so, too. I think that a lot of people will get something out of this and might be led on to more of some more of your other materials.
And it's a little different than maybe some of the other podcasts that you've done.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but it's
all ties in, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So, hey, thanks, everybody, for listening to this Bodybuilding and Fitness podcast. Again, on iTunes, like this, on Stitchers, like this, leave your comments. I really appreciate those. Tell a friend, post this on your social media. What a great, unique source of inspiration that you have right here in this podcast. With Jeff Nippard, I am Skip LaCour. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. Have a great day.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health. When you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis, go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.